Turn to Psalm 11. Something's been on my mind for a couple weeks at least, and this verse 3, it really deals with the thing that we've been thinking about. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, that's a really good question. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please to help us tonight. I thank you so much for the praise reports, safety in traveling, answered prayer concerning jobs, good family visits, just, you know, some wonderful things that you're doing in the lives of people, opportunities to witness. Lord, we don't take those praises lightly. Those are testimonies to what you're doing in other people's lives, in our lives. And that's such a privilege, Lord, to know that in every facet, you're involved. And we thank you for that so much. Tonight, Father, we open the Scriptures and we ask you please to help us to listen very carefully what you say and to listen to you on how you want us to apply these things that you say to our lives. Help Tony tonight when he teaches in the teen class. Father, we came tonight to be fed. Feed us well. But we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know what the answer is? Nothing. If the foundation gets destroyed, whatever was built on that foundation is coming down. That's just the way it is. Whatever you build on a faulty foundation, if it even has a foundation, is going to crumble. And so likewise, when we look at this, likewise, if your life has no foundation, or if your life is built on the wrong foundation or a faulty foundation, it will eventually be destroyed. So what we want to do tonight is we want to discuss some foundations upon which you should build your life that won't be destroyed. That's what we want to do. Because if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Nothing, whatever comes down. Then you know what you do? Build on some foundations that won't be destroyed. And then you'll be fine. And the first foundation upon which to build is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, tonight, here we are, all of us gathered in here, and I suppose, unless there's some, you know, somebody too young, or I don't know, everybody in here has received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior or Savior, so your foundation is Jesus Christ. And you say, well, so I've already built my life on Jesus Christ. Yes, you have in the sense of your eternal life, but we need to think beyond just the decision to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and punch my ticket into heaven and out of hell. Because we're talking about building a life. And when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, and you read on to verse 12 and verse 13 and verse 14 and verse 15, you're talking about somebody that's building upon this foundation. It's not just a matter of laying the foundation or getting connected to the foundation. It is a matter of building that life on Jesus Christ. And so I think sometimes what happens with Christians is that we get saved and we think, okay, that's it. Now I'm going to go over here and build my life because I've taken care of this. But he's a foundation upon which everything in your life should be built. Listen, he is not just a helper, like a laborer that you hire if you're building your own house and now you're getting ready to be involved in something on a particular day where you need a couple of guys on a crew to come help you. So you call a couple of guys and they come and help you that day and then they go home, or they help you only as long as you need the help and then you don't call them anymore. You know, there are a lot of people that treat Jesus Christ that way. I know he's my Savior. I won't bother him until I need some real help, and then I'm just thankful when you read the letter about Matt Allen. That's not the first time that he ever decided to go to the room and get on his face before God. He'd been there in the good times too. Because we're building on that foundation. We're not just going to Him like a laborer who's helping us in a job when we need help. We don't go to Him like a provider, just like you go to the bank to build a building where you get the money and then you never see Him again. And I was talking to a young man the other day and he said, you know, I think of my life and how Jesus Christ helped me. And he said, I look at myself as one of those 9 lepers. You know, there were 10 lepers who got healed. One of them turned back to express his gratitude and to worship the Lord and to thank Him for healing him. The other 9 just took off. You know what happened? I got a lot of living to do. You know, now I'm clean. I hadn't been able to do a lot of things that I can do now because I'm no longer a leper. And a lot of people, what happens, they get saved and they're like, woohoo, I got Jesus now. I'm gone. He's given me eternal life and I can go on with the rest of my life. It's not like that. He's not just your protector like a security guard. On your job, on your building job. The security guard is somebody you know is looking out for the project, but you don't have any personal contact with him. And there are people that live their Christian lives that way. He's not just like your supplier, where it's not that you need help, but you need something. So you go to the lumber company to get whatever you need for the building that you're going to do that day. He's not those things. Although He does provide, although He does protect, although He does supply, although He does help, that's not what He is. He is your foundation. Your entire life is built on Jesus Christ. Listen, there is no building if it's not for Jesus Christ. Not at all. Everything centers on your relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything. When we built that building there next door, you see there's a foundation and it's very strong. It's what's called a carton form slab. It's not a slab on grade. That foundation and this one, they're not sitting on the ground. They're sitting on pillars that are drilled into the ground and deep pads so they don't move. And then the framing is tied to that foundation so that there are lag bolts that come out of there and the bottom plate is screwed down onto that foundation. And then studs are built to make the walls. And there are things called Samson hurricane straps that tie that bottom plate to those studs. And more straps that tie the top of those studs to the top plate. And more straps that tie the top plate to the rafters. Everything in that building is tied to that foundation. And you know, in your life, everything in your life needs to be tied to the foundation. If it's not tied to the foundation, it doesn't belong in the building. And there's so much that happens. I mean, a person says, okay, well, this is my Christian life, so I come to the church and I build this portion of my life, but my job is not tied to that foundation. Yes, it is. Well, my marriage is not tied to that foundation. Yes, it is. If you want that thing to work, if you want the job to work out in accordance with God's will for your life, or the marriage to work out in accordance with God's will for your life, or the decisions you make, everything has to be strapped down to the foundation. If not, it's just an outbuilding next to the building that God is trying to build in your life, and it gets blown away in the first high wind. Your life should be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and everything in that life should be tied to Him. Think about it. I mean, just digest that thought. Because there's so much of what's done in Christian lives not tied to Him. Don't do that. Second thing, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Another foundation that ought to be in your life and is the Word of God. Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24, 25, 26, and 27. This is a familiar passage to you. It's in the Sermon on the Mount, but read it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, what are the next 3 words? And doeth them. Okay, tonight you're hearing them. But look, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. So that rock is the foundation. What happens? The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. May I tell you something? The winds and the floods affect both of those houses. Just because one was built on a rock doesn't mean it doesn't get the winds and the floods. Right? They both get it. Because the winds and the floods are part of the cycle of nature that God established in the earth. And life brings a lot of wind. And life brings a lot of flooding. And the reason some people collapse in those storms of life is they're not built on a good foundation. And the reason other people survive through the storms of life, it's not because the storm they went through is less severe, it's because the foundation was better. What was the foundation? They heard the Word of God and they did those things. And the people who hear the Word of God, listen, everybody's in church tonight. Some are going to walk out of here and do something about what you hear, and some aren't. And it's very important that you consider how the words of God are a foundation in your life. What you hear in the words of God, you do, and your life will stand. Listen, when you build on what you think rather than on what God said, if you build your life on what you feel rather than what God said, if you build your life on your opinion or the opinions of others rather than what God said, if you build your life on education rather than on what God said, if you build your life on your morality rather than on what God said, your house is coming down. Because there will be a storm at some time. You may survive some of the smaller ones, but you can't handle the big ones. And they come. Listen, if you're not sure when you are building in your life, if you're not sure about what God said concerning something you're fixing to do, ask somebody that knows what He said. So when we built that building, we're here in Corpus Christi. What we do here in Corpus Christi, we have to do like other people, like those guys over there building those houses. We got to build like that. And there are codes. And those codes determine legal ways of building buildings. And those codes are in place, you know, most of the time when you're building and it costs you a lot of money to deal with those codes, you think, these are just onerous. But generally speaking, they were put in place because in the history of construction, you found when those things weren't followed, catastrophes came when you didn't expect them. So now they become the code and you have to do them. You think, man, this is an overkill. They are until that particular storm comes or that particular event happens. And to avoid catastrophe, this is what you do. Well, a lot of times when you're doing those things, you're not sure. So what do? You pick up the phone and you talk to an architect or an engineer or somebody with code enforcement. You say, what do I do when I encounter this? Say, do it this way. This is how you do it. So what do you do when you're trying to build something in your life and you're not sure what God says about what you're doing? Go ask somebody that knows what He said. You say, well, I don't want to hear what He has to say any more than we want to hear what the code enforcement guy has to say. But do it anyway. You say it's inconvenient. It always is. Until the storm comes. And then you're like, man, am I glad I did that. Listen, the person you ask who knows what God said, listen, will help. He will help you to keep from violating the building codes. God has some building codes. And you really don't want to violate those. What you don't want to do is to get into the place in your building where you have rejected what God has said for several stages in your building, and he finally says, the dude's not listening anyway. I'm just going to let him build the thing the way he wants to. You don't want to get there. Psalm 81. I'm telling you, you can build without doing what God said long enough until God said, fine. Your structure is so weak now anyway, I don't want to have anything to do with your building. Go on and build it like you want. Psalm 81, and you really don't want to be there. See, Israel was building in the land of Canaan after they went there, their promised land, and they weren't listening to what God said. Psalm 81, verse 11, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So what did God do? Verse 12, I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. And you know what happened? They got destroyed. They got destroyed. So if you've gotten to the place where, you know, you're building and you kind of know this isn't exactly the way God wants me to do it, but I think I can get away with doing it this way, and you do that one or two or three or five, you don't know when God's going to finally say, dude, you have messed this building up. Go on and build it until it collapses, because I don't want anything to do with the way you got it built. I mean, after it's shoddy enough, God's just like, there's nothing I can do to fix it now. There are too many problems internally. You never thought about that, did you? And that's why he says, well, go on and follow your own counsels. Go ahead and follow your own lusts. Because you've done enough wrong that it's not going to stand anyway. Now, you're going to think because he's not slapping you down with lightning and crushing what you've already done, you're going to think you're right. You think you're going to be okay because God hadn't said no. And you know what? You're going to think you're right all the way up until the time you are standing knee-deep in rubble. And then you're going to go, oh, wow. Your life's collapse will come as a complete shock to you. Not a surprise, just a complete shock. Because it happens so fast, you're like, I can't believe this just happened. It won't be a surprise to any others that know the Word of God and saw how you were building. It'll be a disappointment to you. But when you see the rubble, you'll look around there and go, you know what you'll say. I should have done this the way God told me. They all do. I have seen a lot of collapsed buildings. I've seen a lot of collapsed lives. They all say the same thing. I should have done this the way God told me. And now you're knee-deep in rubble. So build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Build upon the foundation of the words of God. Look at this, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And verses 20 to 22. There's another foundation that we have in our lives God wants us to build upon. And that's the church. That's where you are tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 to 22, verse 19 for the context, therefore ye, that's you and me, are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, watch it, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You know why we are so careful in this church about praying over decisions that are made and staying so, as much as we know, true to the words of God and trying to stay away from the other things that are pulling churches away from the Lord is because this church, I say this church, any church should be, has to be a foundation upon which people can build their lives. The church has been the saving grace of my life. When I say that, I realize the words of God, Jesus Christ, you know where this all fits, but there are times when I have needed the church. I had to know when I went there that I would hear from God. That somebody had planted his life on Jesus Christ, stayed true to the words of God, and I knew when I walked in the door, sat down in the pew, God would speak to me through what was being preached, what was being taught, and my life could then be corrected, reproved, strengthened, edified, encouraged through the words of God. You know something? This church has been here 16 years. And we have seen a lot of people over those years come and get something to help them. Salvation and some kind of help to help them. And the beauty is, I could tell you story after story, but different people are coming to mind. Somebody heard the radio broadcast, came to church. Life all scattered and wiggly like a nylon rope. Came to church, started getting fed, started getting strengthened, started getting like a dowel rod instead of getting like a timber. And you know how you know it worked? Because then job situation moved them to another city where they go straight into an independent Baptist church preaching the King James Bible where they could continue to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, thank God there are good churches around. You walk away from this, and down she goes. I'm serious. There are people that have been in the pews that you are occupying tonight, the seats that you're occupying tonight. Now, we've been here a long 16 years. It's amazing how many people have come and gone. All right, but I've seen people and they were here. They were here on Sunday. They were here on Wednesday. They were here faithfully. And then something happened. Wind blew. Got a little upset and said, you know what, preacher? We're gone. If they even said we're gone. Most of the time they don't. And so time passes. And now they're divorced. Now they're bankrupt. Now they're scattered. I say not all those same things happen to the same person. But I've seen all of that happen. You say, how in the world did that, how'd that happen? As long as they were here and building strong on what God does for us in church, they kept on strong. They tried to do it out there on their own without, and down they went. Do you think that's because of me or Randy or Tony? No. It's what God said right here, built on that foundation of the apostles and prophets. You're doing a good thing to be here tonight. I know it's hard on you. Work all day and drag yourself in here. But man, you are building right. And I'm telling you, Jesus said, the closer we get to His coming, the more we need to do what we're doing. I want to ask you a question before we move on to the last thing. It's prayer meeting night. We need to get off the sermon and on to praying. What are you doing? Listen, what are you doing to make sure that this church will still be here when your children need it or your grandchildren need it? Not only do you want to reap the benefit of strengthening your own foundation, but you want to put something into the investment of what God's doing here because there are other people like you that need this. And you want to make sure it's here for them when that time comes. Finally, Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Look at verse 25. Proverbs chapter 10 and look at verse 25. And I should add, I'm looking around here, what do we say, this is the Wednesday night crowd. I thank God for what you, listen, before you look at Proverbs 10:25, I thank God for what you have done. So that it can have been here, God can have used you and us to be here. We just need to remember it didn't get here without all that prayer, all that investment of effort and time and even tithing and money. We want to make sure to keep doing that so it can be here to help others as well. But thank you for doing what you've done. And then Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 25, look at this. As the whirlwind patheth, where am I? Proverbs chapter 25. Yeah, that's where I want to be. It's the second half of this. I'm looking, as the whirlwind passes, so are the wicked no more. Well, that's, you want to build on that. I had to get to the second half, Solomon. But the righteous, look at this, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. You know what he's saying there? When you're righteous, and you are now because you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and He's given you His righteousness, the wicked is going to go away with the whirlwind. When all that's done and the earth is scraped clean, the righteous are still there as an everlasting foundation. Do you know what that means in the context of what we're looking at tonight? Listen very carefully. You want to build your life on the foundation of Christian friends. You'll be out there, I say you'll be out there, you are out there in the world, some of you are younger, you're getting ready to be out there in different parts of the world, and you're going to see all kind of people, and you're going to say, well, that looks like somebody that might be fun. I know they're not saved, but that might be fun, good friendship with them. If the friendship is so that you have an influence to them to bring them to the church you go to and to the Lord you trust and the Bible you believe, amen. But when it's for the desire of really having a good, close association, listen, those friendships don't survive. I had a fellow call me the other day. I've known him for a long time. And he goes, he spent a long time out in the world. And he said, all of my friendships that I made out there in the world are gone. They've all gone by the wayside. They are all dissolved. The only friendships that I have that remain are the Christian friends I had for so many years. I can pick up the phone today and talk to somebody I hadn't talked to in 15 years who was a Christian friend back then, and they're still for me, and they're still there for me. Don't let 15 years gap. Go. You make your friendships out of God's people. Those are the true friends. They're here for you now. They'll be here for you in the near future. They'll be here for you when everything else is gone. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You've got to invest something into that relationship. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And when everything else is dissolved, your Christian friends will still be here. And I thank God for the Christian friends He's given me here. The Bible says if you walk with wise men, you'll be wise. I'm better for it. I'm thankful for the Christian friendships that we've developed here. Let me say one last thing as we finish. So build on Jesus Christ. And remember, that's not just, well, I got saved. What Randy and I were talking about this the other day. You'll talk to somebody, are you saved? Yeah, I did that. Christianity's not a did that. Christianity is, I'm a doing that. That's an ongoing relationship. Yeah. All right. Jesus, build on Jesus Christ. Build on the words of God. If God said it, build on it. If He didn't say it or said not to, don't. Build on the church. Build on Christian friends. But listen, if you have found in your life that you detoured and you didn't and your house fell, here's two things to remember. One, it's a whole lot easier to build on a clean. You see that over there, all cleaned off, ready for home building? The guys that go in there, pour those foundations and build with fresh lumber and all that, that's going to be a lot easier than building after the storm blows one of those down. It's really hard to go back through that rubble and gather up all the mess and try to see what you can salvage out of it and put it all back up again. You'll work twice as hard to put your life back together after you fall than if you build it right the first time. So build it right the first time. But if you didn't build it right the first time, which some of us didn't do, it's not a total loss. Have you ever been to a restaurant made out of old barn wood and rusted tin? Some people pay a lot of money to go to a place like that for the atmosphere. Because they say, this restaurant has a lot of character. Well, you don't necessarily want to get that kind of character, but I'm telling you, it's not a total loss. If you saw that you fouled up in the first building, rebuild with what God gave you, but build it right the next time. God can still do something with it. Amen? Father, thank you tonight for what you've given us in the words of God. Such a great, great blessing from your scriptures. We ask you to burn these into those that are building right off the foundation now. Help them to understand what they've seen here tonight is true. Build that right the first time and you won't have to rebuild it. And for those of us who messed it up, may we continue to be encouraged to keep on building with what remain, because it's something you still desire to use, and we're thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen.